It's time for the Cinema Geekly Podcast, episode 35. My name is Anthony Lewis.
I'm Aaron De La Osa.
Thanks for checking us out on CinemaGeekly.com, Facebook and Twitter and Google Plus and on iTunes. We missed a week last week, but I filled it in with another After Dark podcast with special guest host Andrew List, who desperately wanted to discuss how much he loved Man of Steel. And interestingly enough, we got into a discussion about how Man of Steel and Star Trek 2009 were very similar, have very similar paths that they have followed as far as rebooting series go, and fan reaction as well. That only got brought up because for months I've been trying to get Andrew to watch the J.J. Abrams Star Trek reboot. And eventually, one by one, I'm going to reel everyone in.
He might have been like the lone holdout as far as not seeing that movie.
He may have been the only one who has not seen it. For those of you who have not seen it yet, we've compiled all of Aaron's excellent Facebook reporting into a geek news, and we're doing it by volume. And volume one is up on the website right now with some news tidbits from the past week. And the first thing we have to discuss is another Chucky movie is coming out. Direct to DVD, it seems. Have people been clamoring for a new Chucky movie?
I know. I've been clamoring for it. The last I knew about this project was there was a long-standing rumor they were just going to do just a fresh reboot of the movie. I mean, just start out with, you know, little Andy Barclay, his mother, you know, the detective, and, you know, really just get back, you know, to the whole bones of the franchise. Yeah. But, like, it even went so far as, like, they started casting, like, they added a new character, like an Uncle Frank, and he was going to be played by the Green Ranger, Tommy. Like, he was, like, the first announced, along with Brad Dourif, of course.
That's how you know that it is direct to DVD right there.
And that got me really excited, because I started Googling the guy. I was like, my God, I didn't know he was still alive.
Seen him, yes.
Yeah, I defy anyone to point out that guy in a crowd. Yeah, I wouldn't be able to. But yeah, so I was excited about it, so I just kind of kept tabs on it. And then, lo and behold, they're like, well, hey, we're not going to do that anymore. We are going to come out with The Curse of Chucky.
Yes.
And Don Mancini is back. I mean, the guy's written and produced or directed every Chucky movie thus far. And from the looks of the trailer, if you haven't seen it yet, it really looks like he's getting back to the horror portion of the series. I mean, it's kind of a, and I said this in my brief, it's a retcon. It looks like it's going right back to essentially will be the third, you know, maybe fourth Chucky movie, but I still think the one where they were at the military school was kind of bullshit. Mm-hmm. So I'm choosing to ignore that and call him this The Curse of Chucky, Child's Play 3.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Did you get a chance to watch the trailer?
I did, yes.
What'd you think?
I'm not a horror movie fan, and I don't think I've seen a Chucky movie outside of the first Child's Play.
Oh, good. Then you're not going to be ruined.
Okay. So I still have the most possibly proper mindset.
Correct.
To go into this. Okay.
Yeah, it's almost like if you dated a really hot girl when you were like a freshman in high school and you broke up, then when you're like 30, she just shows up on your doorstep out of the blue and it's still smoking hot.
Has Brad Dourif...
Like, you didn't go through that weird phase where she's like 23 and really put on a lot of weight, but you stuck with her, and then she eventually got hot again? Like, that's what I went. That was my path. You go from hot to hot, so you missed, like, you know, the freshman 15 era.
Yes.
So I'm really envious of you now.
And Brad Dourif has been Chucky all along since the first
Of course.
Play
yeah, the 80s. He's like the Robert Englund of the franchise. They put anyone else in the voice of that doll, there's no way in hell anybody would see that movie, like, whatsoever.
Brad Dourif is awesome, by the way. We should
amazing.
We should mention for people who haven't seen all of. I mean, I don't know. He's been in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Deadwood. He was amazing.
Deadwood.
Oh my God.
He was Grima Wormtongue in the last two Lord of the Rings films.
Mm-hmm.
He was even in a few episodes of Star Trek Voyager. So
Alien Resurrection. I mean, yeah, I guarantee you guys see his face. If you don't recognize him by name, you'll see his face and be like, oh, that guy. But I'll tell you, he is just a balls out amazing actor. I mean, truly, just honestly, like, you know, an unheralded gem of Hollywood. And, you know, he happens to do a lot of horror movies, which he's good at. From the trailer, you can kind of gather where they're going with it. I did a little bit of research on it. And as the story goes, these two sisters, they meet up at their mother's house to settle her estate after, from what I understand, is a pretty gruesome suicide. Mm-hmm. The one sister, Nika, is played by Brad Dourif's daughter, Fiona. She's actually in a wheelchair, you know, so it's understood from the trailer that her older sister, Barb, is kind of overbearing, and Barb brings her daughter with her. And as they're at this gigantic kind of Texas chainsaw just rundown mansion, a mysterious package shows up. Lo and behold, it is the scariest version of the Chucky doll I think we have ever seen. I mean, just looking at this thing right now, I am down like the freeze capture of the trailer. It's creeping me out just looking at it. So the doll shows up. And as I pretty succinctly put in my description, it's a murder, murder, murder. Nika suspects the doll. More murder. You know, the family's like, Nika, you're crazy. More murder, plot twist ending. Or is it? I mean, you know, they always leave off, you know, for a sequel. And interesting thing I noticed from the trailer is pretty obvious is that the doll is not all practical. As in the previous movies, they do some CG to really capture some of the transformations when he goes just from, you know, the good guy all to, you know, to the evil Chucky face. And it is frightening. Like, I am super excited for this movie to come out. Like, I you know, full on, like, you know, I'll be on, you know, Amazon digital download the day it comes out buying this fucker.
Okay, so we've also got the teaser poster that Marvel released for Captain America: The Winter Soldier, and it is literally about as tease-tastic as you can get. It is just a picture of Captain America's very tattered-looking shield. All the paint has been scraped nearly off of the shield.
Mm-hmm.
Is there anything that you personally, with more knowledge into the story, can read into this image, or is it just an image?
Oh, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, how far do you want me to go?
I don't want you to spoil the movie.
Okay.
But,
so long story short, the Winter Soldier, you know, Cap was fighting the war, was frozen for a long time, came back for the Avengers, blah, blah, blah. You know, we all know the story.
Yes.
Not all of Cap's enemies, you know, are aliens. Like, some of his enemies from, you know, the Great War are still around. And the Winter Soldier is one that comes back to settle things with Captain for some unfinished business. So to me, the teaser of the shield just being really just beat to hell and just almost, you know, just in tatters is really exciting, especially for anyone who is familiar with the comic book as far as, you know, the Winter Soldier storyline. As far as what I can tell and what I've researched and what I've seen, they are following the comic book damn near to a T. So I am super excited to see how well they play this off.
So Vincent Diesel. It never ends with this guy, does it?
The Diesel one, yeah. He's quite a dick teaser. This guy.
I guess yet another Facebook tease where he's talking about another meeting. I guess another meeting with Marvel or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Are you at this point thinking that they may be casting him as the big baddie for the second Avengers film?
I am thoroughly convinced that I know initially I had speculated.
He posed with the comic book cover, didn't he? Or the comic book?
Exactly. And that's the one thing I found interesting about the picture was that the comic book poster he posed with was actually the cover for the Avengers issue number 2.
Right.
Now, to me right there, that's, you know, it might be pretty obvious. Maybe I'm reading too far into it because I'm a bit of a nerd. But
because that is on the nose, isn't it?
Exactly, yeah. I'd always thought with Guardians of the Galaxy coming out plus Comic-Con being next weekend that it'd be surefire news that he would be the one to be voicing Groot, you know, the big, you know, tree alien monster who is one of the good guys. I mean, anyone who's ever seen a movie of his or some of his voiceover work, Iron Giant, the guy's voice can be terrifying. He's got a really, you know, pronounced timber. It's very identifiable, and it just sounds like it belongs to a badass. So I thought he would be perfect for Groot. But as it turns out, like we said a couple months ago, He initially had posted a Photoshop picture of him as Vision.
Yeah.
And Vision is like an omniscient, sentient, hyper-intelligent android. And I'm not saying anything against Vin Diesel in case he happens to be listening, but he doesn't come off to me as
hyper-intelligent.
Like a hyper-intelligent kind of... He's too lumbering to be like this kind of androidish. Like me, like, you know, when they initially had killed off Coulson before they started the spin-off series with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is Coulson looks shave his head, you know, paint him, you know, red and green. He looks just like Vision. He has the look of Vision, like of the android. Vin Diesel did not fit that because he might be a little too thick. But now, as it turns out, like the more thought I put into it, and with the Avengers 2 poster behind him, I am now convinced on my own, no substantiating evidence so far, I've been looking, that he will in fact be playing Thanos. Like, we know with Guardians of the Galaxy, Benicio del Toro, you know, John C. Reilly, major league actors, like, are already cast in other confirmed roles, but Thanos is the one they haven't confirmed yet. Like, I know Thanos had a teaser in the Avengers, and then it was just a stunt guy, like a, you know, someone who doesn't carry a lot of weight with them, and I think to add even more credibility and more, like, holy shit, like, you know, Vin Diesel could actually take on the Avengers, right, and be convincing as a villain. I think he, you know, they could do a hell of a lot worse as far as Thanos goes. So it's my belief he will be Thanos in the Avengers 2 and subsequent, you know, Avengers, you know, 9, whenever they stop, like 30 years from now.
Right. Entertainment Weekly put out a cover with Spider-Man and Jamie Foxx as Electro.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on this? This is amazing. A crazy looking cover.
I
didn't know what to expect. I didn't really look into the Electro character that much, so I was kind of just waiting to see. I mean, obviously I saw some of the pictures where his where he was wearing some of the makeup and whatnot, but this looks like they've added in like what the CG effects will look like and things like that. Would you say that you are happy with this portrayal?
I am. I think, you know, a
at
lot
least
of
visually, right?
Visually, I am so far. Yeah. I mean, it remains to be seen. I mean, Jamie Foxx, you know, he has played a lot of great roles. As far as being a villain, you know, it remains to be seen. He has a track record that proves, you know, he does at least have the talent within him, you know, to take on a serious role. But maybe it might be a little too campy. You never know. But as far as the look goes, I mean, they're definitely taking it more off the Ultimate Universe as far as his costume goes. His costume in the 616 universe, I mean, it's fucking out there. I mean, he's got lightning bolts coming off his face. I mean, it's bright yellow and green. I mean, it is – it would be comedic. It would be an understatement to put that costume on a film. So the Ultimate look, what they're going for, it's kind of look – he kind of has like a Man of Steel-ish kind of, you know, lightning bolt-ish X-Men universe feel to the costume. And it plays. It works as far as what they're going for. So I can't really complain about it so far from what I've seen.
Let me see. Let's just move right along. Speaking of Entertainment Weekly, they appeared to have confirmed what your original belief was about the Marvel one-shot revolving Agent Carter.
Oh, Haley Atwell.
I mean, that's what it sounds like. The piece quoted, the director and
Louis D'Esposito.
Yeah. And he did, item 47.
Correct.
And, this is, basically, I mean, right away he's like, it's a period piece. We're going to be using it to show how badass Peggy Carter is. It basically confirmed almost word for word everything that you had predicted on the previous podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So that must be nice. We're looking forward to that. It'll be on the Iron Man 3 DVD and Blu-ray. Probably the Blu-ray. Who knows? Everybody's cheaping out on DVDs these days, but it'll definitely be on the Blu-ray releases.
Most definitely. And they even actually released like a teaser poster for it. It's kind of a throwback, kind of Gone with the Windish looking poster, which I liked.
Dominic Cooper will be in it as Howard Stark. So
yes, I thought he was great in Captain America. I'm looking forward to seeing him back as Howard Stark. And other rumors are that there will be some other cameos from other, you know, I said beings because it may not necessarily be people from the Marvel Cinematic Universe. So we will see if we get, you know, a shot of, you know, something or other. Like, there's even been further talks. I haven't really dug too much further into it, but I know now they're thinking is that what they are finding a modicum of success with the one shots is that in the future, for characters that they don't want to do a full bore standalone movie for it, introduce them, they might just do a one shot to be like, you know, there's a one shot of so and so, but he'll be in Avengers 2, you know, something right. like that.
I mean, I was gonna say you could do a series of one shots if you wanted to, even. That wouldn't be an overly terrible idea. Maybe you could set up like a three short arc or something, where you can see like the second part when this movie comes out, and see the third part when this movie comes out, and then you can see the full character in, you know, Avengers 27 or whatever.
Right.
Bleeding Cool let it slip that Fox is going to announce an X-Force movie in the X-Men
yes.
universe, and I think that has since not just been. Not just been a confirmed rumor, but I think they also attached a writer to it. Somebody has mentioned that a writer has been attached to it. Explain to me X-Force. Do they have this much? Because it seems like they must have an awful lot of confidence in Days of Future Past and perhaps even the Wolverine doing good business to constitute yet another X-Men themed film.
Yeah, I think they're really counting on, you know, Hugh Jackman, you know, as much as there was a complaint about X-Men Origins, there was a lot of good to it. So I really, Hugh Jackman, like, you know, he is, you know, he can definitely carry it. X-Force is kind of a special ops sort of a just team of mutants. Like, they kind of go in, they do like all the black bag kind of shit that, you know, most other you know, superheroes can't do. Like, they're not afraid to mix it up and to maybe, you know, maybe murder some people, kind of deal. So, it's pretty exciting to see. And Rob Liefeld, the guy who created Cable, you know, Deadpool, a few other pretty iconic characters, like in the X-Men universe, who are of that caliber, like the really kind of militant, just, you know, murderish
yes.
Vein. He has confirmed that both Cable and Deadpool will be part of the X-Force team, which they are, you know, based off a run of the comics. You know, as Deadpool, Cable, Wolverine, and depending on how they go, I mean, they could mix in. There's a lot of people they could actually mix in for the team. And Rob Liefeld has actually confirmed that Ryan Reynolds will be playing Deadpool. Now, it's my belief that since they're going to go out with this X-Force movie, and plus we know that Ryan Reynolds has already dropped out
of the Highlander
of the Highlander remake, that there could be only none, is that they are going to announce a Deadpool movie as well, because they, you know, the script has been out for over a year. They've had writers tied to it. They've had a director. Ryan Reynolds has said on several occasions, you know, he wants to get the movie made. He's like, let's just fucking do it. They need the studio to do it. Well, Rob Liefeld actually confirmed the X-Force movie has been in work since March.
Wow.
And I just find that timing really kind of conspicuous as far as when Ryan Reynolds dropped out, you know, in like April, May-ish, right? Yeah, exactly. So I think shit is finally turning. We know for sure it's going to the X-Force movie. I think they'll use the X-Force to show more of Deadpool as Deadpool. Yeah. And then from there, I think they will move right into the Deadpool movie.
Okay, Aaron, let's, before we move on, because we got a lot of other things to talk about, let's take a small moment of the podcast to pay some bills, because we have them to pay now.
Mm.
And we've certainly found an excellent partner in one Amazon.com from which to do so. I know you shop at Amazon.
Yes.
I know Andrew List certainly shops at Amazon. I asked him on the After Dark podcast, and he does. So
After Dark.
On that incredibly small sample size, I'm going to guess that a lot of people shop on Amazon.com. And I know I do. And if you're listening to this podcast, there is a slight chance that you might just like it, and you might like the website, CinemaGeekly.com. There is a way to help CinemaGeekly.com and shop on Amazon at the very same time. It doesn't cost you any extra money or any extra time. Everybody wins. Literally everyone. Most everybody, I'm sure, has a link to Amazon.com bookmarked somewhere. But I ask you, delete that bookmark. Immediately. Do it right now. And go to CinemaGeekly.com on the right-hand side of the website. There is a button that says click here to support Cinema Geekly. Bookmark this link. Use it every time you shop Amazon.com. That link will take you to Amazon. No weird page where you may question whether or not it's actually Amazon. It is the real Amazon. You will go there, and you can buy whatever you want. however much you buy, however little you buy, unless it's zero, which of course nobody wins in that scenario. But if you buy even just a little bit, Amazon shaves a percentage of that sale, sends it to us to help us out with our costs, because they're just the most loving and helpful, gigantic, bloodthirsty corporation in the world. They just love to give that money away. They've got so much of it. This is the only case, Aaron, of trickle-down economics working. Amazon has so much money, it just overflows onto the rest of us on the internet. And all you have to do in order to help us out is click that link. And you know what? There's a lot of good stuff on Amazon right now. You're listening to Cinema Geekly, so chances are you're big into movies. And there's some good stuff going on Amazon right now. There's actually a 70% discount Blu-ray DVD sale happening right now, and there's some awesome titles. Not fucking around here at all. X-Men First Class is under $10 right now on Blu-ray.
So the new Star Trek?
If you don't, yeah, you can pre-order the new Star Trek. That's coming out September the 10th, and I've already had it pre-ordered for, 3 weeks already.
Iron Man 3 you can pre-order. Star Trek 2009 is under $10.
Prometheus is made our list of some of the best movies of 2012.
Oh my god, that was a great movie.
That's under $12 on Blu-ray. The first season of the awesome Showtime series Homeland, that's on Blu-ray for under $25. You can't buy a season of a TV show for that cheap anymore. But they've got it on sale there. I mean, they've got a bunch of other movies you probably wouldn't be interested in the very least, but they've got a lot of awesome shit on there as well. Rise of the Planet of the Apes is under $10. You have to shoot yourself if you don't have that yet. Machete is under $9, Aaron.
Well, I mean, that might be a little overpriced though, but.
And with Machete and with Machete Kills coming out, you definitely want to catch up.
I think if you actually buy Machete on Amazon, Danny Trejo might come to your house and hang out for a bit. I mean, but you need to buy it, like, right now. Because if you wait any longer than, like, 3 seconds, that deal might go out the door.
A criminally cheap price. Chronicle is under $9.
Ooh.
That is criminally cheap. You need to go get it right away. Because I'm a completionist, I should probably pick up the Chronicles of Narnia, The Voyage of the Dawn Treader, because it's under
$9. Oh, don't do it to yourself.
I'm a completionist. I don't know. I can't help it. The kids love those movies, so.
Oh, okay. See, then you can't go wrong.
But yes, the point is, there's tons of stuff. Sons of Anarchy, most recent season, under $20 on Blu-ray. Amazon has great deals. And guess what, ladies and gentlemen? We could be dicks. We could say, no, don't. Go buy a Bose surround sound system using our link to Amazon, because that'll bring us more money. But no, we're saying, look, we know you love movies. They have good deals on movies. Sure, we'll get a little less money, but you know, we don't care. We care about our audience.
It's true.
It's true. We don't want to be liars, so we missed a week, but I do want to settle the debate we had about the Lone Ranger and how much money it was going to make at the box office.
We got suspiciously close to that number.
It did have a full, I do believe it did have a, we were debating on what the full Friday number would be for the first Friday.
Right.
But I do think it did have a full Thursday beforehand.
Mm.
I'm going to disregard that number anyway, because the number from Friday actually went up from Thursday. I don't remember what everybody predicted, but I know I was high. I was saying it was going to do $30 million on Friday.
Yeah, I want to say I might have been close.
By the time Friday was over, the movie had earned $30 million. But that particular,
after Johnny Depp went and bought 5 million tickets.
but that particular day, it only made $10.6 million. This movie crashed.
Jesus.
The domestic as of today is $63.3 million.
What was the budget? Like 160?
$215 million.
Oh, my God.
Most of that is probably on Johnny Depp's salary, but $215 million. And that's,
I'd like,
obviously,
to tell the studio, if you're willing to give Tony and I just like $250K, I guarantee we can make your money back on a movie.
Yeah. you know, the crazy thing is, and obviously the budget, that's just for making the film.
Oh,
God. probably put in another, you know, marketing, close to $100 million or more on marketing worldwide. And and they're only gonna see half of that return as well. Obviously the theaters are going to keep some of that money.
Do you think at this point it might be more cost effective for them to not put it out on DVD?
Oh, maybe. Maybe it would just be cost effective right now to literally put it out right now.
Oh my gosh.
Like, it's released everywhere right now. Let's talk about what's on the website real quick. There have been a few reviews since the last podcast. I reviewed Europa Report, which I'm guessing most people have not heard of. I had heard of it because I go all over the interwebs, and if it's a science fiction movie, even if it's a limited release science fiction movie, I'm in. And this one was really, really good. This was starring everyone. Actually, this guy's everywhere, and I was kind of shocked to see him in Europa Report, but Charlton Copley, who is from District 9, and he's going to be in Elysium, and I think he's in something else that's coming out, or did come out, I'm not sure.
He's everywhere.
But he's blowing up.
Yeah.
I was always under the understanding that he didn't really want to be a big movie guy, but he's blowing up. Europa Report is... I know we talked about Apollo 18 a long time ago on this podcast, which is basically like a found footage movie about a lost mission to the moon where we found aliens, apparently, and that's why we're some sort of alien parasite, and that's why we've never been back to the moon, which was a clever concept, but it didn't really turn out well movie-wise. It was kind of a boring movie. Europa Report is the exact opposite. I give it 4.5... is it 3.5? I gave it 3.5 geeky glasses. It was really good. It was kind of like Apollo 18. It's essentially a team is going to Europa, which is one of our one of the famed moons of, I want to say, is that Jupiter? I don't remember.
I believe you're correct.
Jupiter or Saturn. It's one of those two. I believe it's Jupiter.
Something the doctor would be able to tell us.
It's frozen. It's a frozen, icy planet on which we believe there's a lot of water underneath. And they go there to see what they can find. And it's kind of like part documentary, part, you know, thriller, essentially. But it was done very well. So I would recommend it. I don't know how you would see it exactly because of limited release. It might be on demand. I'm not sure. Look for it when it hits Netflix or Amazon Prime. I'm sure it'll end up hitting those things. Mainstream-wise, I finally got to see World War Z, so I was pleased about that. I really liked World War Z. I wish we could have said that when we were reviewing The Art of the Film book, but I didn't get a chance to see it before then, but I have since seen it.
But you can tell the good people who actually sent us that Art of the Film book. Who was that again?
The Titan Books, sir.
Oh, Titan, yes. Books. Thank you very much, Titan.
very gracious still for the review copy, which, as stated before, was pretty great. And the movie was much better than expected. I mean, seriously, Brad Pitt in a zombie movie. I was like, our pass. And the name sounded silly, and I know it was based on a graphic novel, but I'd also heard long ago that they had kind of veered far away from the source material. But all of that being the case, it was surprisingly good. I mean, they obviously they got the PG-13 rating that they wanted to get a higher budget and to attract a wider audience, which means they drop a lot of the zombie gore, which they basically replace with Hitchcockian scenes of zombie deaths, where you know the zombie death occurs, you hear it, you can see some of the results from it, but it is not, you know, as violent, and they replace that. With they replace it by just actually making a really good suspense movie. Normally, if you take out the gore, then there's not a whole lot to a lot of zombie movies or shows, with the exception, of course, of Walking Dead, obviously. But that's more character driven than it is suspense, although they do suspense from time to time. This was great. And by the way, I didn't know how I'd feel about really fast zombies, but as it turns out, creepy.
Yeah.
Really fast zombies are terrifying, especially
28 weeks later.
Especially in this world where one bite from a zombie and you turn in 13 seconds. So
that's a bunch of bullshit. Like, they really that is ridiculous.
I mean, but it makes for terrifying scenes though, essentially, where you just, you know, you have an entire city block that can turn in a minute, you know what I mean? where yeah. it's just one guy bites the next guy, bites the next guy, bites the next guy, and then you literally have a horde of zombies within, you know, 5 minutes.
If that's really the way it goes down, this entire world is fucked.
Yeah, we're not going to last long.
Nothing anybody can do but die.
Not even Brad Pitt could save us. Stephanie reviewed the Eli Roth film Aftershock, which I'm guessing is also limited release.
Gotta be limited.
She did not care for it, but with this synopsis, how could anyone not like this movie? What happens to a group of travelers who are in an underground nightclub in Chile when a massive earthquake hits? Hint, nothing good. That is the official synopsis from the film company.
Does it actually say hint?
It does say hint with colons.
Oh, I'm sold. I'm seeing that as soon as it comes out.
She said it was terrible, but there's a good chance that it might be like Sharknado terrible. And
I still can't bring myself to. I know it's blown up the Twitter sphere and the interwebs and all. I'm just
Ian Ziering jumping into a shark's mouth with a chainsaw. I don't know what's not to love.
And Tara Reid. Oh my God! What just
terror?
Terror Reid. That's just. Oh,
and Glenn Beauvais reviewed The Last of Us for PlayStation 3. He loved this game with such a ringing endorsement. He gave it 4.5 geeky glasses. Such a ringing endorsement may want me to go pick that up. So that's kind of like a zombie survivalist game as well.
Yeah, I'm excited for it too. I've just been geeking out on the Deadpool game, just yes. You know, reliving it over and over again. But yeah, I need to get off my butt and go pick up The Last of Us.
So we're still kind of in a holding pattern, yes, for brand new television shows to come our way. We're still waiting on Breaking Bad to return, which is not until August.
Oh, I know. We're waiting on everything. Really, it's just right now. It's just sort of a bullshit reality shows.
I'm trying to think of the only thing that's even remotely coming back right now is Aaron Sorkin's Newsroom, which is not something we would normally discuss in great detail on this podcast, but it's a great show. I love it. But that's about the only thing I can think of. I know Sons of Anarchy is returning sometime soon. I'm trying to think if there's anything else that is really coming up on us on television.
Nothing right away.
There's like
everything's August, you know, pretty much.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that I want to see. I mean, I'm sure we'll dig in because I've gotten a few emails and I want to dig into those next week because I'm going to see if I can try to scrounge a few more because we started getting some questions and I want to try to get a couple more so we can maybe do a podcast centered just around some email questions because there's definitely some stuff in there that we can. We can discuss. I mean, a lot of it might be movie message board type things, like Listomania type stuff, where it's like, what's your favorite movie that ends with a D or something? You know, stuff like that. I don't want to list specific questions, but they're questions we probably have encountered before on message boards, but we've never really discussed here on the podcast, and I don't have a problem.
Don't be afraid to ask people. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, we give us stuff to talk about.
I actually I did want to mention I saw Coffee Town, College Humor's first feature-length film.
Oh, okay. I didn't know College Humor was still around. This is amazing to me.
Oh, yeah. They're actually working at a production company now. Glenn Howerton stars in it. He is Dennis Reynolds from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Okay.
And it co-stars Steve Little. He's Stevie Janowski from Eastbound and Down.
Yeah.
And then Ben Schwartz, he's a stand-up comedian. He, you might recognize if you saw his face. They're three friends whose lives kind of center around this coffee shop called Coffee Town. It's a very Starbuckish kind of place. And like the main guy who works there is a guy named Sam, who is played brilliantly, might I add, by Josh Groban. Like he's
really?
Going out of his way. Yeah, the guy who works there, Sam, he's a
Josh
Groban, yeah. He's got a really shitty beard. I mean, he wears, like, the big leather cuffs, I mean, and he's, like, an aspiring musician who's just terrible. And, like, they make fun of the fact that this musician plays the piano and tries to sing. Like, it really, like, mm-hmm. he plays just such an amazing dick in this movie, but he's so funny. Like, I really, like, seeing it, I first saw Josh Groban, I was like, oh, God, this movie's just going to bomb. But I love Glenn Howerton. Steve Little is just hilarious, and Josh Groban really is the hidden star of this movie. He is so goddamn funny in that movie.
Oh, we got to talk about this before we wrap up with our usual box office and Blu-ray release talk. I can't believe we've forgotten about this, but there is some big Doctor Who news, yeah? Surrounding John, well, at least a Doctor Who, or was it news or was it a theory that you postulated about, I believe it was John Hurt, I want to say?
Oh, yeah, that's going back a little bit, yeah,
we missed talking about it, so.
Oh, yeah, it just all kind of tied in with the 50th anniversary special and all that coming up. Like, you know, everybody's really trying to figure out, like, exactly who John Hurt is, like, where he actually falls in the Doctor Who canon, because we know at the end of, you know, the Series 7 finale, you know, Matt Smith's Doctor.
The name of the Doctor, yeah.
Name of the Doctor, yeah, actually, you know, you know, set out to not call it Die Doctor, you know, call a guy Doctor, because this guy did something so horrible. He actually went against everything that is meant by the word Doctor, like a healer, someone who helps people and all that. Mm-hmm. And we know from dealing with Christopher Eccleston's run when the series started back up, to David Tennant, to Matt Smith, that this Doctor we're seeing now, like starting with Christopher Eccleston, is the one who ended the Time War. Like he, you know, had destroyed the Time Lords and the Daleks and all that. Mm-hmm. And he was always running, like all three of their runs, like they were always running away from something, And just kind of as it turns out, we know that there was a gap in between regenerations, like from last we saw Paul McGann on the Fox movie with Eric Roberts, which was, you know, it was what it was. And then we saw Chris Freckleson. We know there was a gap. Now, we didn't actually know for sure, you know, where John Hurt fell, but seemingly the costume designer for the Doctor Who 50th special, Howard Burden, had confirmed in an interview to The Telegraph was that he states there was a gap between Paul McGann playing the Doctor and Christopher Eccleston when we didn't see regeneration. He says John Hurt will fit into that gap. He is a past Doctor, not a future Doctor. I know many people were pretty excited, like, you know, maybe John Hurt, you know, since Clara hadn't seen him when she jumped into the Vortex, maybe he was going to be the next regeneration. Like, oh my God, he'd be an amazing Doctor. I agree, he would be an amazing Doctor, but we now know, you know, he falls into the past canon, so essentially making Matt Smith the 12th Doctor already.
Yeah.
But what's so special about it is that I think why John Hurt doesn't really have the name of the Doctor, why Matt Smith didn't call him that anyway, but they did in the credits, is that I believe that John Hurt's Doctor is the one who just saw all the evil coming with the Time Lords, the way that, you know, they were just with just their vision of just like the universe and just how time should be to manage and all that, plus the Daleks and all that. I really think he is the one who actually started the Time War. Like, that is just something just so evil. He just decided just to start an entire war just to put an end just to all the bullshit. Like, that's right. My theory is like that's who John Hurt is. Like, he was the one who is just so not Doctor. He sought out the war. So, I mean, it's, you know, we still got a lot of time in between now and November, yes. When it starts. Anyone who has not watched Doctor Who, jump on Amazon Prime right now. You can go back to the very first Doctor, you know, Doctor number one. The series started in 1963. You could watch every goddamn show up through Matt Smith's incredible run and be all the way caught up.
I've started with just the Eccleston Who, but a lot of people
or said Eccleston, yeah, you could start with Eccleston, you know, and
a lot of people said it's a good jumping off point.
That is, it's a really good jumping off point. There'll be some things you miss from like the 1970s, but you'd have to be insane to go back and watch like, you know, all 1,000 episodes. But if you have a lot of time, you know, go for it. But yeah, if you start at Christopher Eccleston, go all the way up through Matt Smith before November 23rd when the 50th anniversary hits, you know, you are going to be in for an amazing ride. The BBC does not do bad television. And one other note about Doctor Who, I'm glad you brought this up. We actually know Stephen Moffat, the current showrunner, has stated when Matt Smith will regenerate. He's saying that Matt Smith, much like David Tennant did at the Christmas special, Matt Smith will regenerate into the new Doctor at the very end of the Christmas special that they do for this year. So like the last couple minutes, essentially with David Tennant, had that really heartfelt and powerful goodbye. When his last words were, "I don't want to go." Then he regenerates into Matt Smith and the TARDIS pretty much explodes. Matt Smith yells Geronimo, excuse me, and all that shit. Essentially, that'll be what Matt Smith does going into the new Doctor. Really tearful goodbye, and then whoever the next, you know, madman of the box or madwoman of the box will be to take over.
Yep.
You know, that's how we're kicking off.
I am now midway through season 4, so I'm nearing the end of the David Tennant run. So
what's been your favorite David Tennant episode so far?
Let me see. The one that I've seen most recently that I really liked is weird because he wasn't even really in it that much was Blink.
Oh, I love that one. With the weeping angels.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, he wasn't in it that much, but man, I really liked that episode.
But that episode right there really, like, it really helped me to understand, like, exactly, like, you know, when he said time is like timey-wimey wibbly-wobbly.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, you know, it's not linear. It really is just a big ball of crap. And just the way that episode played out, you're like, holy shit. Like, at the end, you're like, oh, my God. Like, when you have that big aha moment, it's like, mm-hmm. wow, this is – now I understand, like, the thread of this show.
And they also – I like how they also kind of – how they kind of also very much – stay away from trying to over-explain anything as well by saying things like timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly.
Right.
Kids don't get confused by...
Exactly.
He's just like, it's a ball of bleh. You
well,
know,
it's like for a kid, it's like, I got it now.
Wibbly-wobbly. Yeah, that makes sense to them.
Yeah. But one thing, you got to be sure like you're actually able to watch the specials too, because depending on how you're watching it, Netflix doesn't have everything. So if you're watching on Netflix...
I'm watching on Amazon where they have the start each new season with the Christmas special.
You're good. Then you'll see him regenerate. Netflix, like they have most of the runs, but they don't have the specials, like the Ghosts on Mars. I mean, the Dead Planet. I mean, you know, all that stuff, or the David Tennant regeneration, like when he's dealing with the Master and everything. Like, you're gonna miss out, like, you know, all that stuff. So really, if you're watching Netflix, shift immediately over to Amazon and watch it, because you're gonna miss so much. Like, eventually, because on Netflix, you're gonna go right from David Tennant right to Matt Smith, and you're gonna be like, what the hell's going on? You're not gonna see any of what transpired on that. So do yourself a favor. Do not miss the specials.
So I have a personal question. Podcasters, feel free to not listen for a second here. It's a personal inquiry. I know that's like the worst thing ever. But the episode where it was the Christmas special. No, it was not the Christmas special. It was the first episode of season four, where when Martha Jones leaves and he picks up Donna Noble as
Donna Noble. Yes.
I guaranteeing someone that I've missed something here.
You missed a Christmas special because you had no idea who she was, right?
No. I saw her before, I knew who she was. But they did that. They did that shot with her talking to the woman.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they do like the reveal shot, and the woman she's talking to is Rose Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rose walks away and disappears. Is this, I must have missed something. So I presume he went back in time before Rose, or I don't know. I'm confused of what that shot was meant to be. I know I missed something. So.
Well, remember when Rose got sucked into the alternate universe?
Yes.
And he had to go to Bad Wolf Bay and say goodbye to her?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, because she was essentially in that alternate universe and the time gap closed, she should not be able to jump to where she is right now. Like, they should never be able – she should not be able to come back to this universe at all.
Right.
Like, and that's that whole big reveal, is that when she disappears at the end, you're just sitting there, like stunned, like, holy shit, how is she back? Like, what is going on? Like, it really, like, it all ties in to like, the very long goodbye for David Tennant.
Okay, so this is a payoff later.
Oh, God, yes. Okay. Yes. You'll
– So I have not missed anything yet. My confusion was warranted in that situation.
Correct. It's supposed to be like a holy shit moment, but then you're like, well, how is that even possible?
That was my thought. I was like, holy shit. And then my second thought was, how is that possible?
Start checking the episode list. Like, what the fuck did I miss? Yeah, no. You're good. Keep rolling. Like, it gets really good. Like, Donna Noble really just has a – to me, she is besides the two newest ones so far as companions go, but by far and away leaps and bounds above Martha and Rose. Loved Donna Noble. She's the best.
Let's take a look at what topped the box office. Lone Ranger is not number one, so that's a plus. But let's start with the number 10 spot was Now You See Me. That was the Magic movie, wasn't it? That dropped a number.
Yeah, with Jesse Eisenberg.
Yes, with Mark Zuckerberg. This Is the End was number 9. Kevin Hart, Let Me Explain, made $10 million. This is where I'm going to show my old manness. I have no idea who Kevin Hart is. So.
Hilarious. You have Amazon Prime. Look him up immediately and watch his stand-up. He is hysterical. Yeah.
Okay.
Really funny guy.
Man of Steel is still holding on, made $11.4 million. White House Down, which I have yet to see, but my intention is there to see it. I watched Olympus Has Fallen, so I'm committing to watching White House Down. That made $13.5 million. World War Z, $18.4 million. Monsters U is $19.7 million. The Heat with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy, $24.8 million. That movie's still pulling in pretty decent bank.
Still hanging around, yeah.
The Lone Ranger debuted with a $29.2 million weekend. That can't be good for them. Despicable Me 2 was the big opener last weekend. It made $83.5 million. Not surprised by that at all. Big movies opening this weekend. Pac
big
Rim.
Movies.
Pac Rim, ladies and gentlemen.
Can't wait.
Jax Teller and the pilot from the Prometheus ship, Idris Elba.
And Charlie Kelly.
Yeah. And
Charlie Day is his real name. Sorry.
Hellboy, he's in there too.
Yeah, R.I.P.D. for kids, Turbo. I mean, yeah, they're monstrous movie weekend coming up.
Grown Ups 2, ladies and gentlemen. If you see that, you're a bad human being.
Yeah, I'll be skipping that one.
Just saying, anybody who goes to that, I hate you because you're going to ensure that they make a third Grown Ups movie. And just looking at it right now, the one day total for Grown Ups 2 is more by about $2 million than the first Grown Ups movie. So this is on par, better than the first. So be prepared for more Adam Sandler getting all of his friends into a movie and doing fart jokes and pee jokes and slapsticky bullshit.
I'm hoping the next time the cheetah just kills him.
Look,
that's enough.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. I am a Kevin Smith apologist. I like Kevin Smith movies a lot. But at the same time, I won't try to defend it from people who don't think that they're funny. But at least the one thing I can always say for
you're not going to go to bat for Geely or Jersey Girl.
No. but there is. I mean, it's got its moments. I thought George Carlin was awesome in Jersey Girl, but
the one good moment in that movie.
I thought he was tremendous. But the one thing I can always say about a Kevin Smith movie is yes, you have dick and fart jokes. Yes, there's all the stupidity and shit, but there's almost always a really well-told story in there somewhere with some real purpose or emotion behind it. I don't think this happens in the grown-up movies. I think it's
they don't feel genuine or honest. You know, they're not having actual conversations like in Kevin Smith movies where people probably are actually talking about shit like that and like that. Like in the Adam Sandler stuff, it's not happening.
The Grown Ups movies are the Fast and Furious of comedies. Essentially, they are whereas Fast and Furious is essentially action porn. These are, you know, dick and fart porn, essentially, where it's...
What are the chances they get The Rock in Grown Ups 3 to shoot some juice into the franchise?
They may need it. They may need it if this doesn't have legs.
Oh, let's fucking hope so.
Here's what's coming up on Blu-ray. Blu-ray releases for July the 16th, and there's some good ones in here. Let's see here. We've got Solomon Kane, a movie from 2009 that Anchor Bay is now just releasing. For My Daughter, Regular Show, the first and second seasons on Blu-ray. Let me see here. This one you may enjoy. I don't know if you've seen it or not, but the BBC show Orphan Black, first season is coming out on Blu-ray.
Yeah, I'm picking it up. Like I started to hear a lot of talk about it, and like I was kind of on the fence about it, about picking it up, just because like I watch way too much British TV as it is, and I don't want to add another show I know I'm going to love. But I'm finally just like, screw it, yeah, I'll be picking it up, and expect to hear me talk all about it very shortly.
The Criterion Collection, nothing screams classy like Criterion. They're releasing Lord of the Flies on Blu-ray, a classic film. So there you go. The complete second season of AMC's Hell on Wheels, that's coming out on the Blu-ray. The 1973 film Heavy Traffic from Shout Factory, that's coming out on Blu-ray. If you enjoyed the 2013 rendition of Evil Dead, that is coming out on Blu-ray on the 16th.
I did.
The 2013 Anchor Bay release Erased is coming out on Blu-ray. Bullet to the Head and the very excellent Jackie Robinson biopic 42 is coming out on July 16th. And you know what? No better place to buy them, Aaron, than Amazon.com, where if you use the link on the right-hand side of the Cinema Geekly page to buy them, we will get some of that money from Amazon. I'm just saying, throwing it in there.
cheap. Please help. Please help us to keep giving you the hilarity that you all desire and love from us.
I mean, some of you may not have known that Lord of the Flies was coming out on Blu-ray, and now you know. And what better way to repay us for informing you than buying it using the link on our website? And then we even get some of the money in return. It's a very nice thank you.
Right. Unless one of you happens to work for Marvel and you'd like to sponsor us, I mean, that'd be good too. But otherwise, sure. just click the link for Amazon.
Sure. I mean, even if you work at Marvel and don't want to sponsor us, just click the link to Amazon.
Either way, click the fucking link.
I'm sure you make a lot of money doing what you do. So, and I'm sure you also shop at the Amazon. So,
right.
It's a great company. And we say that because they are willing to give us money. We are paid shills for Amazon. So before we take off, one last thing before we leave. Aaron, did you have any thoughts? Did you see the Old Boy trailer?
I did.
Okay, and did you have that? Because I know, unless attitudes have changed drastically, and it's the internet, so it's possible, but not entirely probable, people seemed really pissed that they were even going to do this movie in the first place. I remember when I believe they were talking about casting Will Smith in the role a long time ago.
Oh, yeah. The shit hit the fan on that one.
Oh, did it ever.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it's Spike Lee's directing it. He's not calling it a Spike Lee joint, which I think is a first time.
It very well might be the first time.
The cast is excellent.
Good.
It's, yes. Josh Brolin, Chartel Copley, Sam Jackson. Elizabeth Olsen's in it. It's a really, really well cast. I thought it looked great, but
I did too.
I've never seen the original, and I know people are going to yell at me for that, but I have a hard policy on watching subtitled films. So
yeah, I've seen some pretty good, horror movies that were subtitled, but just, you know, after a while, it does get kind of grating, and I'm far too lazy to read and enjoy things. I know
yeah.
it sounds
I mean,
bad.
I don't mind.
Considering
I don't mind
the amount of comic books I read. Yeah, but yeah, it's, if it's redone in something, I don't have to ponder and yeah, I'd much rather see that.
So any, have you seen the original?
Nope.
Okay. So me either, but this looked tremendous. So I guess I can't really, I don't want to talk about it too much because I don't know how much it deviated from the original Korean film. My guess is there's probably people bitching about it as we speak, but I thought it looked pretty damn great. The concept, what appears to be the concept is Josh Brolin. What happens here? He gets kidnapped or something?
Yeah, he's a journalist. He gets kidnapped for 15 years.
His family is killed. He's blamed for it.
He's blamed for it, yeah. And
then he's just suddenly released.
Correct. Yeah, he's suddenly released, and then he goes on like this big mission to try to figure out like what happened to him.
Yes.
and punish those who were involved. And as it turns out, he discovers that he's still trapped inside, per a quote, a web of conspiracy and torment.
Oh, there we go.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like an official movie synopsis.
Right. Hint. Yeah.
Well, if that doesn't have you tantalized, I'm not sure what will, but there's...
I know, I'm tantalized.
There's all sorts of awesome things like this that pop up on the .com all the time, cinemageekly.com. You can stream or download the podcast from there. You can also join in the conversation. If you don't want to join in the conversation on the website, feel free to do so on Facebook and Twitter. Those are at Cinema Geekly, and of course you can check us out on Google Plus. To make it easy for everybody, you can go to, I believe it's gplus.to/cinemageekly. We'll take you to the Google Plus page, but we've got buttons for all of those social media things on the website. iTunes as well, rate and review the podcast, everybody. We can't stress this enough. We will
Please.
Keep saying it until people start doing it on a regular basis. I think every once in a while we get an extra one may pop up there, a rating or whatever. You can even cheat and just go to the click the iTunes button on the podcast page. It'll take you to the website version of iTunes. It has a listing of all of the podcasts on Apple's website, and you can rate it from there. Even you don't even have to go into your iPhone or your iPod, or you don't even have to open your iTunes software. You can do it right from the interwebs.
You don't even have to listen to the show.
Just no, you don't. You don't even have to. I don't know how you would get the message to rate and review the podcast.
Oh, the interweb is vast these days. They can figure it out.
They might be able to figure it out. Yeah, you guys are a smart audience.
Right.
You know what you're doing. Hopefully we will be back next week. We'll see how the weather goes. We can maybe talk about some emails, because we've gotten a few of them, but not quite enough to center a show around. So if you want to send emails, you can direct messages on Twitter or on Facebook. You can send an email to info@cinemageekly.com, or you can use the contact page on cinemageekly.com.
And if you want us to watch and discuss, let us know.
Literally anything. You want us to watch Sharknado, we will try to watch it.
I think we should just try to watch Sharknado this week anyway. Just for our own sakes.
People are talking about it. I mean, literally, it's amazing. Sci-fi is really found a formula here, sir.
I might watch it tonight. So in like 3 hours, if you just hear like uncontrollable shouting, just know that's me.
Okay. from several hundred miles away,
right?
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if we can survive Sharknado, we'll be back next week.
If I and Zarin can survive Sharknado, I like our chances.
All right. Well, if we can, you'll hear about it here on the Cinema Geekly podcast. Hey, Aaron, I got a question for you.
Yeah, what's that?
Who would you say is your favorite DC female superhero who also happens to have an invisible jet?
Wow. Well, she would definitely have to be from the Amazon, and I would want her to be the leader of the Amazon. So if you were, she would be an Amazon Prime. So I would have to say Wonder Woman would be my favorite.
Amazon Prime, Aaron. That's amazing that you just happened to drop that reference. It's incredible.
Uncanny.
Because Cinema Geekly has sold out to Amazon, as a matter of fact.
What you say?
Yeah, that's true. Amazon Prime. We love it. In fact, I believe you also use it. I use it as well.
I use it every day.
And just to actually show you, we have absolutely no proof of this, however, but to show you how sincere we are about Amazon Prime, we've been using it long before Cinema Geekly started affiliating itself with Amazon.
Yeah, we're old school Amazon backers.
We just love it so much.
We
that,
do.
You know, we decided, why not? Let's share it with the world. Let me tell you about it real quick, everybody. It's kind of like Netflix a little bit. There's over 30,000 movies and television shows that you can stream on various devices, like the PlayStation, Xbox, Wii, Roku, TiVo. I think you can basically get an Amazon Prime app on anything that comes with app capability. The fun does not stop there. If you shop Amazon, I know a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
You don't just get all of the movies and the TV shows streaming for free, but you also get free 2-day shipping on literally a gajillion items. And
wow.
I don't think I am overstating that.
I don't believe you are. I mean, to me, that makes it far superior to Netflix, because I don't get free shipping with Netflix.
A gajillion items. if you happen to own the Amazon tablet called the Kindle, not everybody does, but some people do. And if you do have one, especially for your reading purposes, Amazon Prime also gives you the Kindle Lending Library, which means you can kind of go to the digital library, borrow books. You don't even have to buy them. You can borrow them, read them, send them back, and get another book. $79, but that's for the year. That's a one-time payment for the year. And if you piece that out like Netflix, it's actually $20 cheaper than Netflix.
And you get free shipping?
Free shipping. Tons of movies, tons of TV shows. It's got a lot free books. It's got a lot of the same content that Netflix has, and some stuff that Netflix doesn't have.
They actually have a lot of stuff Netflix has. Netflix lost all their license to a lot of stuff, like first ESPN, kid shows, things like that. That Amazon Prime still has
Stargate. Just throwing it out there, big Stargate fan. Amazon Prime, they've got a sweet deal going on with us specifically right now, and you don't actually have to spend anything, and you can help us out. There's a banner on top of cinemageekly.com. You click it. It takes you to where you can start a free trial for 1 month with Amazon Prime. If you sign up for that, Amazon sends us money. How cool is that? They send us money to help with our server costs and bandwidth and all of that internet bullshit. And it doesn't cost you anything to do the free trial. You get it for a month. If you love it, spend $79 and enjoy it for a year, because I am never not subscribing again to Amazon Prime, just because it has literally been that helpful. We buy a lot of stuff from Amazon, and I like watching television. So take money away from a giant corporation.
Right.